the number that are not with us this morning. My wife's not feeling well as Christina and some others. So, if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Genesis chapter 24. The story of Abraham going to sending his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. Genesis 24:1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Now, that's an interesting statement. It takes us back, we'll pause there for a moment, keep your finger there, but that takes us back to Genesis chapter 15. In the which God had told Abraham in verse 1, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding reward. And Abraham responded, verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? You know, the Lord says, I'm your great reward. He says, Lord, why give me a gift? Because I have no children. Abraham had a long-sighted view of his life, and he wasn't out just to gain riches for himself. He said, don't give me anything, Lord, because I don't have any kids. He says, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So this Eliezer was, by reading that, the child born in his home of another servant that he had. And under their tradition, servants' children born in your household were your property. And so obviously the parents of Eleazar perhaps had passed on or were no longer in the scene, but he said, this Eleazar is my heir. It's the only heir I have. He's heir to all my stuff. And we could make a pretty logical assumption back in Genesis 24 that this one that ruled over all that he had was the same Eleazar. It somewhat makes the story a little more interesting to realize that had Isaac not come along, Eliezer would have been heir to all of that fortune of Abraham. It gives us a little background to the type of servant that Eliezer was, because we see in Genesis 24 that he's a very willing servant, despite the fact that he just got rote out of the family fortune, basically. In Genesis 24, getting back to the story, verse 2, and Abram said to his eldest servant of his house, so I believe that was Eliezer, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? You know, if she won't come here, do I need to take him there? What's the plan? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Abraham understood the promise of God. He understood the long-term puzzle that God was going to make his people a mighty nation in Canaan. And so for that reason, he didn't want his son to leave Canaan. And also, he did not want him to marry a Canaanite woman. He wanted him to marry a godly woman. He saw the long-term picture. And Abraham always understood, as we look at his life, the plan that God had placed him in, his purpose for that day, which was to be a good father, but his purpose for generations, to begin this beginning of God's people the right way. And so he had this long-term view in mind, and he instructs his servant. Verse 7, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware unto him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand." He was responsible for all of them. None of them were going to be his, but he was responsible for everything of Abraham. So he looked at the situation and measured out 10 camels to take with him. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now as we look at this, this servant is on a mission and on a trip that really does not directly in any way concern him. It really is, it's not his trip. It's not his burden, but he's been commissioned to it. And as we consider that, it is an interesting thought, because our lives are much the same way. We're servants of the Lord. We've been commissioned to a work that is the Lord's work. And we see in him an example of his faithfulness here as we read this story. It's a story I always love to look into. Verse 11, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even at the time that women go out to draw water." And then take note of his prayer. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day." And that phrase there, it means for the Lord to conduct and direct his affairs for that day. To Lord, control my day. And then the next part of his prayer, "and show kindness unto my master Abraham." The prayer that he's praying here is not for his own benefit. It's for the benefit of Abraham. It's for the benefit of Isaac and God's people. And as I thought about that, he's praying in the name of Abraham. He's praying for Abraham, his master. And I thought about how that when we pray, we often pray without much thought. But we often say, "In Jesus' name, amen." Or "For Jesus' sake, amen." And we just throw that on the end of whatever we ask, you know, because that's how we've always prayed. But when the Bible commands us to pray in the name of Jesus, or to pray for his sake, or to live for his sake, the idea is this idea that we're his servant, and that we're doing his work, and that we're doing his bidding, and that we're living and making requests in our prayers for the benefit of him, for the glory of him. And if you could put that at the end of your prayers, does it fit there? Does it belong there at the end of what you've asked for? Am I asking this for the purpose of the kingdom of Christ, or for my own? And we see in this Eliezer, it's amazing as we see his selflessness and his deep concern for a burden that's not his own. He seems to be truly vested in this, seems to have a true concern as he pleads with the Lord there. He kneels his camels down and he stops there and he pleads with the Lord. "Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master." How he loved his master. This is why he prayed in this way, because he loved his master. And love for the master ought to underlie all of our prayers. What we're praying for, what we're praying about, love for the Master, ought to be underneath that. It ought to be what is causing this prayer. And it's what was causing Eliezer's prayer. Kindness to my Master. And he began to pray, verse 13, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink,' and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." He devised this plan. He said, if this particular thing takes place at the well, then I will know that you have showed kindness to my master. He was so concerned for his master. This is what drove his prayers. You know, and if we think about our prayers, and obviously the Lord Jesus Christ is our master, and he's the one whose errand we've been sent on. We've been sent on an errand concerning his bride. Do we plead with concern that the Lord would glorify our master? That the Heavenly Father would show himself on behalf of our master? And he's so concerned with this. Verse 15, "And it came to pass before he had done speaking." There's a lot of verses on biblical prayer that you'll find read like that. Before he was done speaking. Daniel, when he was praying, and there's several others in the Bible, you'll find that before they were done speaking, here comes an answer. That before he was done speaking, I find that oftentimes when I'm praying about a message, I just can't get settled and I can't get turned loose, and I'll get on my knees and I'll talk to the Lord and I'll keep talking to him and while I'm talking with him, I have to stop praying because something's coming to my mind and I have to go and search it out in the Scripture. "Before he was done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up." Notice the enthusiasm of the servant. "And the servant ran to meet her." He was energetic about the burden that was not even his burden, about the burden of the work. He ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." He's testing her now according to what he prayed to the Lord. And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted. Notice her enthusiasm. "And she hasted and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, 'I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking.' And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." You can just feel the emotion as he's desiring for his errand to be prosperous for his master. "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and half a shekel of weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, 'Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?'" At this time, he didn't know that she was who she was. "And she said unto him, 'I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor.' She said moreover unto him, 'We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in.' And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord." He just dropped his head right there on that spot and worshipped. He was overcome with that the Lord had answered his prayers and prospered his master, he found true joy in a prayer that he had prayed concerning his master and that the Lord had answered. You'll find joy there. You'll find great praise there, great grounds for worship there. When you engage in the work of the Lord, when you pray for the work of the Lord, and the Lord answers that prayer. And he rejoiced. And he said in verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth, I being in the way." I just get to be here for it. I just get to be here as the Lord blesses my master. He was just happy just to be near the working of the Lord. I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told the things of her mother's house, these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." He was blessed just to be part of the plan of the Lord, just to be part of it. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and he gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the man's feet that were with him. And there was sat meat before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat." He was on an errand. He was on his master's business. He was on his master's time clock. And he said, "I will not eat." And I tell you, we are on our master's time clock. Yet we certainly find time to eat, don't we? We certainly find time to feed our flesh and to do all the things that our flesh desires. He wasn't there in this strange land scoping out the sights and doing all kinds of things like that. But he was on his master's business. He says, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." Verse 34, and he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare him a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath." I'm in charge of it all right now, but all that he has goes to him. "And my master made me to swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go to my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel before thee." The Lord that I serve will send his messenger and his servant to prepare the way. And we see that Rebekah was well prepared. We've already seen her running to do the things that have been asked of her. She has been prepared by the Lord. Verse 41, "And then shalt thou be clear of this my oath when thou comest unto my kindred. And if they will not give thee one, then thou shalt be clear of my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou wilt thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water, and I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, which Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring on her face, and the bracelets on her hands, and I bowed down my head, and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to my master's brother's daughter, unto his son. And if now ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And this is how we cipher the will of God. We wait for that door to close or open, so we know whether to go to the right hand or to the left. We can't see all the way down our pathway. We pray for the Lord's leadership in every instance, and that instance will tell us whether to go right or left. And this is what he had done. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, verse 50, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. This is from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. This is from the Lord. There's nothing we can say. There's nothing we can do. And when we receive our answer from prayer, this is our response. This is from the Lord. There's nothing we can say, good or bad. It's funny how we tend to judge answers to prayer, whether they're good or bad. We have no right to judge whether an answer of prayer be good or bad. We are nobody to look at an answer to prayer and judge it in any way or form. That places us in a court where we are judge over God. We have no right. And they said, We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. It's not our place to say anything at all. Then Laban and that was their answer. Verse 50, 51, Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Again, just overjoyed for the sake of his master. How he loved his master. And so, for the sake of his master, he was overjoyed and bowed and worshipped again. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with them, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. This is all shocking and fast, and they're struggling with this. Verse 56, And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. He says, I've got to go. I am on a journey. I've got to go. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. She'd been prepared. It's an interesting story. There's more to it we can't look at for the sake of time. But it teaches us a lot about our life, our mission, and our prayer life. If we look at that, because we're sent on our master's business. If we love our master, we'll joy to do his business. It's just that simple. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray that you'd bless us today. We pray that you'd prosper our way today as we look into your word. We pray that you would bless the services. We pray for our pastor and Sister Gordon as they're gone. We're thankful for the good reports that they've had, and we just pray that they would come to some good conclusions, Lord, that they might be able to ease some of the symptoms. We pray for the others that are not with us. Ask for your blessings on the service today. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Be merciful to us. Lord, we need your mercy to meet with you today and your grace. We ask these things in your name. Amen.